Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-oh. No entry-level music this time?
I see what's wrong.
There you go.
Welcome to The Man's Voice. We're glad to have you on board on this Sunday afternoon. Hope that you're, you know, parked down somewhere and safe and feeling well. You know, I have a lot of requests for the name of the entry song, and there are people that ask me, can't we just let it play out one time? And so we might do that one day, but not today. So, hello, guys. I see we have two people on with me on the panel. We have Bruce and Ron with me at the moment. We want to send our condolences out to Don Wiggins, the other panelist. He's down under the weather, not feeling well, but he's okay otherwise. Nothing that's major, no viruses or anything. But anyway, hello, guys. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing good, David.
Good.
How about you?
I'm well, but, you know, the number one thing that everybody is talking about right now today, unfortunately, is this coronavirus. The one thing I don't understand is if you look up the virus and you do all the research, the one thing that it tells you is there's no diarrhea, there's no of those kinds of things. So why are we sold out of toilet paper? What's the big issue?
Yeah.
Why are these people panicking? I don't know.
And up here it's terrible. I imagine by you too, Ron. But I went in the store early last week, say Monday or Tuesday. Shelves had plenty of stuff, and people weren't panicking. They weren't going out with carts full. They'd take one or two. I took one because I really needed it, and people were kind of normal. I went back 2 days later, shelves of tissue, toilet paper, paper towels, pasta, anything that has a long shelf life on food were stripped bare like a buzzard. There was not anything to be had. It's this typical panic buying. I asked one lady I said, what's the deal with the pasta? She said, number one, it's got a long shelf life, and number two, I'm doing it because everybody else is. That was her. That was her answer. I said, oh man.
Wow.
So it's typical panic. Maybe panic's too strong a word, but you know, I don't want to be left without. But they keep saying, I heard it 10 times today. There's plenty of food, people. Just calm down. But, you know, we get it in our minds, and it's hard to get it out.
Well, I think
there
is plenty of food, and I'm watching a live press conference right now. It's actually going on live as we speak. And the president was on a few minutes ago, and he was telling people not to, you know, go crazy when they go to the supermarkets and, you know, just buy your week's worth of groceries.
Yep.
But like you said, Bruce, you know, and you use the word panic, there's definitely a high level of anxiety. And here in Miami, in South Florida, you know, we're so accustomed to doing this every time that a major storm or hurricane is threatening the area. We do this automatically. So down here, perhaps it was even a lot earlier than in other parts of the country where, I mean, the stores have been empty here for a while
now.
But you know, I think part of the thing, part of the thing, you know, about buying more than a week's worth of supplies, and especially food, is that we don't know. You know, like, for example, where I work, I have to go in tomorrow, and then we're going to be told to work from home until further notice. And we don't know, you know, Dr. Fauci said this morning or yesterday, I can't remember, said, you know, people that are elderly or in high-risk groups, which I am one because I have high blood pressure and heart disease, so I'm definitely at higher risk. that we really, and these are his exact words, really, really, he used the word really twice, really, really need to hunker down. So to me, that means, you know, as much as I hate it, because I get cabin fever, is staying indoors and not going out unless it's an emergency. So, you know, if I can avoid going to the supermarket once or twice a week and just get enough food for 3 or 4 weeks, I think I would do that, and I have done it. So I think that's what's going on partly in people's minds.
I agree, Ron, and I'm looking at the same press conference you're looking at. And they're just going to continue. The thing I've noticed, they're continuing to tell us the same thing over and over again, which is good. You know, we got to be reminded and constantly reminded, but they're also gradually adding more and more. As you saw in that conference going on right now, they're discussing more about these portable way stations, for lack of another term, where you'll be able to drive up, get tested, and drive away. And they're gearing up for each one of these to do thousands, not hundreds of tests. So they slowly are adding bit by bit more and more confidence. Would we like
but
to go faster? Faster?
Yeah,
yes.
You know what really aggravates me and angers me, Bruce and David, is the fact that we don't have today, you know, and mind you, this is a virus that was discovered in 2019 and started in China and Asia and then went through Europe, you know, and we still, you know, knowing that this was probably going to be spreading, don't have enough tests, you know. So there's really no way right now today of knowing how many people out there are walking around with the virus. I'm not really even sure what the incubation period is. So if you do test for the virus and you test negative, does that mean that you could still have the virus? And, you know, remember HIV, you could test negative and then a few weeks later or a few months later you were positive. So
yeah,
I don't really know what the issue there is. And like, I have a friend who I had dinner with him and his girlfriend. His girlfriend is visiting from Peru. They both had just gotten back from Canada, and I had dinner with them night before last, I think it was. And, you know, I was a little hesitant, but I went out and the restaurant was almost empty, which is understandable.
Yeah.
And then, after we had dinner and everything, he told me, you know, Ron, I've been feeling kind of sick for the past couple of days. And I said, what do you mean feeling sick? And he said, yeah, I've been having shortness of breath. And I'm like, really? You're kidding me. And you're telling me this now? So, you know, you don't know. I mean, you don't know who's got it, who doesn't. It's kind of scary. And the numbers are low. You know, the numbers as of now are low compared to the general population. But I think it's the tip of the iceberg. Like the governor of Ohio said, he thinks there's at least 100,000 people in the state that have the virus right now. And, you know, the young people, they're not as vulnerable. But if they have the virus and they come in contact with somebody older like us or, you know, in a higher risk group, then that's not a good thing. So that's one thing that upsets me is that, you know, we weren't as a country without, you know, without being partisan. OK, we were not as prepared as we probably should have been. And even Dr. Fauci said that was a failure, not having enough tests. And then the second thing is the travel ban. So in Miami, in the news last night, there was a flight, one of the last arriving flights from Madrid. And you know Madrid, all of Spain is in lockdown. And the flight arrived, and one of the guys that got off the flight said, aren't you going to test me? And whoever it was, I don't know if it's TSA or whoever was handling that particular person, said, that's not part of the protocol. And they were sent home. And then I just heard, I think it was Vice President Pence say, that people that are arriving from other countries are being told to self-quarantine for 14 days. Well, guess what? I don't think anybody's doing that. I don't think anybody's, you know, that's coming in is self-quarantining because they don't even know what to do.
Yeah.
So that's
well,
kind of alarming.
Well, and there is a lot, Ron. A young lady said, okay, go ahead.
Let me just jump in because Darius is with us, and I wanted to get his thoughts on Darius, one of the things this whole conversation started with all this panic buying that everybody's doing. So my question was, why do you run out of toilet paper if, you know, diarrhea or something is not one of the causes? But so that's where this conversation is going. I wanted to bring you up because he just got in a few minutes ago. So now he's up. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bruce.
No, I was just going to say a young lady said the very same thing, Ron, that you said about, aren't you going to ask me any questions? They said, no, you're coming in from, I think she said Peru or Brazil or someplace like that, and said, you're not on the hot list, so to speak. You're not on the concern list, right? She wanted to be asked questions, and she was scratching her head thinking, why wasn't I? And then, you know, they showed the examples this morning about all these foreign country planes coming in, not spread out enough that they all came in a number of airports fast, and they were all herded together. I think a lot of that you can't blame all that on Republican or Democrat, but we tend to, I think, unfortunately, in a number of emergencies, we tend not to react until it's here. That's not the way you properly prepare, but we have a history of doing that. You know, until we think it's real and it's on our shores, we don't react as if it's here. We don't do the early preparation, I think, as well as we should. And we have a history of that, I think, many times.
All right, I want to jump in.
Oh, maybe this is a wake-up call.
Well, Bruce, you came up with something, and I want to explain it a little bit. You talked about the testing. And I do know that the Center for Disease Control is supposed to unveil a website with Google sometime in the next week or so that would help people figure out whether they should get tested.
Yeah.
And if so, direct them somewhere nearby to a drive-through test site in public areas like Walmart or something like that.
Yep.
So that's supposed
to
happen within the next couple of weeks. And also, Ron said something about China, and I know that China is very upset right now because China's state media accuses the U.S. politicians of spreading political viruses about China being the ones who started this because China is saying that our politicians came up with this thing, blaming it on China just to get the interest to help them get in office. So China is really blaming it on the politicians, saying that the politicians are blaming it on China, and that's where it came from, that the disease did not come from China. What do you think,
David?
Yes.
Well, let me say one thing about something you said about, you know, the drive-through and the testing and all that. There was a politician in the news here. I don't know if he was from Florida or from someplace else, an elected official, who said, you know, he followed the protocol and he felt ill and he called his primary care physician and was told to call, I don't know, whatever. I don't remember the order, but the county. And then the county said, you know, contact, go to the ER. And then he went to ER and they said, don't go there. You know, he was sent to like five different places in one big circle. So, you know, I know it's a big country. I know there's a lot of people, but I don't know. I just think it needs to be handled better.
All right, Darius, where are you on all this?
Frankly, I'm sick of it. to be honest.
No,
be careful. No,
I stopped
watching
the news as much, and I stopped listening to all the reports. I can't do it anymore. It's just I think people are panicking, and they're. You know, of course, we got to take the necessary precautions, but I just think it's just way overboard at what's happening, especially like you guys were talking about earlier with the grocery stores and things like that. I went in the other day just to get some spaghetti. My wife wanted to make spaghetti.
Yeah,
I couldn't even find spaghetti. I'm like, are you guys serious? So it's to me, it's, you know, everybody's gone overboard, and there's a wave of fear sweeping across this country right now, and I just think that's unhealthy. You know, there's such thing as healthy fear, but this what's happening right now is unhealthy, and that, you know, it's natural for China to try to deflect, because you know, I think Ron was saying earlier about us not being prepared, you know, because it was out a while. But the thing is, China knew about this well before, you know, before we actually learned about it. And they hid it. They tried to contain it, and they tried to keep it a secret. And so we could have prepared for it better if China would have informed formed the world about, you know, what was happening there. But they also threatened the United States, too. I don't know if you guys heard that, but they threatened to stop manufacturing the antibiotics that we need, and so they would let us die under the virus or whatever if we continue to promote this propaganda that they were the ones who actually caused this.
So who do they say caused it?
Exactly. If not them, who did it? That's a good question. I don't think anybody's asked them that. If they did, they're not going to answer it. But
and if they, Darius, if they kill off the, I'm figuratively speaking here, kill off the major part of the machinery that fuels the entire economy worldwide, they're going to go down with the ship too.
Absolutely, because they need us just as much as we need them.
Exactly.
You know, like, you don't have, who are you going to sell all these products to if you destroy, you know, us? So. Yeah, they need us just as badly, but they always try to, and even during the negotiations of the tariffs, you know, China always pretended as if they held all the cards. And, you know, they had a lot of people scared. Oh, you better not mess with China. They can do this and do that. No, their economy is dependent upon the United States purchasing those goods. And, you know, most of the manufacturers that have plants over there are U.S. manufacturers. So
and a number of them are remote. If they're not moving back to the U.S., they're moving to Vietnam and other parts outside of China.
Exactly. Thailand, Malaysia, Europe.
Yeah, they're getting out. They're getting out. You bet. And it shows you, doesn't it, guys, that the mystique of China trying to be not only the most powerful second power, but vying for the most powerful, they have a lot of chinks in their armor, too. They have a lot of weaknesses and problems, maybe more than we realize.
You know,
Go ahead, Darius.
Go ahead, Ron. Okay.
I was just going to say with all the negativity that one could talk about China, there is some bright news coming out of China. You know, the hospitals that they built practically overnight to handle thousands of cases. I mean, I wish that we could do something like that here, but I don't even think that it's that feasible or even doable here. But, you know, obviously with their communist system, it's different, but they got it done, you know, and they were able to
treat. And Ron, have uh-huh. they really, do we even know what they have, quote, built? Or are they just saying they have? I don't know that for a fact. Do you?
Well, no, I don't. I mean, I saw pictures, unless they're fake pictures. You know?
Wow.
So.
Well, guys, Spencer's joined us, too. So, Spencer, do you have any comments about all this coronavirus stuff going around? Or if you listen to the conversation about, you know, what we were talking about?
I guess I'm taking it serious, but I guess I'm not taking it as serious as most will. As most are, as far as going up buying all this stuff. I mean, it's possible we could have to, you know, maybe go on a countrywide lockdown. But I guess what I'm saying is that I'm believing in the American medical system and everything that we have here to so it won't happen like it happened in China or in Italy right now, what's going on. I think we're managing it a little better. I think we got out in front just a little bit, or maybe because we have the CDC here. And so I guess I would start to panic when it really becomes, you know, really big. But right now, you know, I'm taking precautions myself. Don't get me wrong. I'm taking precautions, but I'm still going to work tomorrow. Still got to work tomorrow. I stocked up on some stuff just to be sure, but I think with the 2 weeks of everything, you know, kids out of school for 2 weeks, and even my lady, she's working from home for the next 2 weeks. I think the prices we have taken in place will, I think in the end, help us out better than I guess with China, what happened in China, what's happening in Italy right now.
Okay, the way the panic is moving across the United States. How many people do you think in the United States have actually died of this disease? What do you think, Spencer? Give me a number. The way it's being pressured that people are dying and everything. How many people in the total United States do you think have died from this disease right now? If you were to estimate based on the media.
There's been one here in Georgia, so I'll say maybe 50. If that, I'd say maybe 50.
What about you, Bruce?
I mean, is it higher than that? I wouldn't know. I haven't heard no high number, but I'll say about 50.
We don't know, but
that's one per state.
Right now, the statistic they put on the screen just a minute ago was about 3,000 plus, about 3,000 plus in the U.S. Tested positive, or let's say infected, or whatever term you want to use. U.S. cases, I'm looking at it right now, and worldwide, 152,428. The fact that the younger, middle of the road, not the infants and not us old mature folk like me, being more susceptible to get hurt by the disease or the virus, we don't know how many in the middle that maybe will never show any major symptoms or none at all have this in them. Right. We have no idea.
Exactly. Yep.
Carrier-wise, I'm going to watch my grandkids most of this coming week, if not the next two or three, because Michigan schools are shut down. All I can do is follow them around with alcohol, make them wash their hands. they could seriously hurt me. I could even hurt them. It doesn't mean that the youth is totally void of being sick by this, but their resistance is much stronger. So it's a big question mark, but as far as how many have died, if you made me make a guess, I'd be close to what I think Spencer said, or maybe, you know, 100 or so. But when you think of a U.S. of A of 350 million people, it could easily be, you know, a lot more without us even knowing it, right?
Right. But, Ron, what number would you say have passed away already or died from this disease?
Died, I would say, about 150, 200.
Okay. What about you, Darius? What do you think?
Well, if you listen to the news, it sounds like 10,000 have died or 100,000.
I know.
But
I know.
Right. But I think it's less than 50 people have died.
The actual number of U.S. citizens who have died from the disease is 62.
As far as we know.
As far as we know.
So right. So that lets us know right there that, you know, we're creating mass hysteria over, and don't get me wrong, you know, 50, 60 people, that's important. You know, you don't want it to spread. But, I mean, you know, this mass panic that's going on right now is totally ridiculous.
I agree with you.
I'll tell you what I'm doing. Hold on. I want to tell you guys what I'm doing, and you can call me crazy. The flights and vacations are so cheap right now. My wife's birthday is Friday. We're going to Vegas for $60, guys, round trip from Atlanta.
That's how
I'm prepared for the coronavirus. I'm going to Vegas.
You'll probably have the plane. You'll probably have the plane to yourself too. You and your wife.
First class, baby, upgrades. That's what I'm talking
about. That's right.
Well, wow. Okay, so, one thing that Darian said is moving hysterically across the United States, but actually it's moving around the world. So this thing has picked up. And you know that it's getting pretty crazy around the world when on the eve of St. Patrick's Day, Ireland has closed all the pubs.
Yeah.
Now, so yeah. if on the eve of St. Patrick's Day, Ireland closed all the pubs, it must be something going on over there. But I know in England right now, there's 35 people, and Britain has also isolated that anyone over 70 is quarantined because their death rate is at 35. So it's around the world. This one thing is, you know, just it's gotten crazy. How did this happen? How did this panic happen over this one virus?
Because the exposure, the news that it exists, somebody said earlier, a virus has been around a while, but this invasion or whatever you want to call it from wherever it's coming from hit us in a short period of time. Surprise. We don't know that this might not have been around for quite some time before we even heard about it, you know, and even in this country. But if we weren't testing for it, we wouldn't know it. But it hit us quick and it hit us fast. And you know, the press loves to whip it up the headlines into a hysteria. I think Darius said earlier, they could be a calming force. And for headlines or whatever the purpose is, they don't choose to do that. They never seem to do that.
You know, it's amazing because, you know, in France, they have now closed all the shops and restaurants, but during the Second World War, all the restaurants stayed open. So,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of crazy.
I have a quick suggestion. I'd like your thought on it. What if tomorrow, all of us, for a period of a week or whatever, as long as you could, you wore those the surgical gloves, the thin layered gloves that so many people wear when they're doing nasty jobs and so forth. I could wear a pair all day. Some people can't. But what if we just all did that? The transition, if so much of it is by face and hands. Now, granted, if you got some on the outside of the gloves and you touch your face, it could still happen. But I would think, wouldn't that kind of minimize some of the exposure if we all, almost all of us did that, or the most susceptible did that?
That sounds like super practical.
Yeah. Yes, Ron.
No, I was going to say that the coffee shop that I go to every morning, or that I was going to, because I haven't in the last couple of days, they started wearing the gloves. The employees there started wearing the gloves. Last week. Yeah.
Of course,
and
you know,
when I go pump,
because of our program, there's going to be a run on gloves now. It's already started anyway around here.
Yeah, and when I go pump gas, you know, because who knows how nasty that is, you know.
Yeah.
So I use a plastic bag and I wrap it around my hand, and that's, you know, I may be overreacting, but I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
Two things that one thing I'm in tune to what Darius was talking about, the airlines, but something else that has happened is the interest rate dropped to almost zero. It's close to zero as it can get, which means
between 0 and 0.25 an hour ago.
Uh-huh.
All right. Wow. It's time to refinance everything.
I'm refinancing, gentlemen. Starting, I'm talking to somebody Monday.
I don't blame you.
Are you really?
Yep. I started the dialogue about a week ago, and now I've got more fodder for the fire. I would think I could get right now, even before that happened, I knew I could drop my mortgage 1%, which is big. And I might even be able to drop it further. That's huge.
I just heard in the news, in ABC News, that California is telling every resident 65 or older to stay indoors and not go out for anything.
At all.
Wow.
And, of course, it's on
the
honor system. And it's on the honor system. So there's no way we could ever really, and even if we could, we wouldn't. I don't think we would.
All right, guys. We've been on this for like 30 minutes, but I think it's worth more than 30 because of the panic. But I want to throw some other stuff in here if you guys got other things you'd like to discuss. What about you, Bruce? What else would you like to talk about?
Oh, boy. This seems to be taking on everything right now, and one good thing, maybe it has a slight chance of pulling us a little bit together versus this constant pulling apart with partisan politics, because even though they couldn't do it totally the right way, I listened to Pelosi and Schumer talk. And then Pelosi didn't say anything after she said, we're working together, we're doing this, doing that. And even the president said it. But Schumer says, we're doing this, doing that. And he said, yeah, but the current administration can't do this. They don't have their act together. I said, you just couldn't leave it alone for one discussion, could you? I mean, so in some way, it's pulling us a little bit together, forcing us both parties to work together. If that's a minor victory, I'll take it.
All right. What about you, Darius? What conversation would you like to have?
I think that we should see how this is going to affect or how this is affecting the primaries. I heard that there are several primaries that have been called off, and I was just wondering, do you guys think that benefits Biden or does that benefit Bernie Sanders? And also in regards to, I know we – you know, the virus still has a part in this. About the mass hysteria, you asked earlier, why do you think that happened? And I'm sorry, guys, you're probably going to jump on me for saying this. I think it happened primarily because Donald Trump is president, and creating chaos is disadvantageous to him. And so there are several people who don't mind wrecking the economy. They don't mind people getting sick as long as their political agendas get advanced.
And isn't that sick? No pun intended.
Yeah, Bill Maher openly said, hey, I would love for the economy to crash if it meant that Trump didn't get reelected.
Oh, yeah.
He openly said.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So that's why we're seeing all these reports, and that's why we have the mass hysteria. The press is creating that on purpose, I believe.
Wow. You know, Spencer, how is this disease affecting the sports industry? Because I do know that the soccer federation decided to, they're talking right now about shutting down. What about the NFL, the NBA, and all that? What's going on with them?
The NBA has shut down already.
Yeah.
Hockey.
Yeah.
NASCAR. Actually, it was supposed to go on yesterday here in Atlanta at Atlanta Motor Speedway. I don't even know if it went on. They were saying they were supposed to just have just them race at one point and no fans was going to be allowed. But I think that actually got postponed too. So that affects the NASCAR because they're missing out on two races. And, you know, that could affect the standings or however long it goes. And they canceled the whole entire NBA season. So it has been, you know, shut down. So that affects everything, you know, as far as finals and standings and the playoffs. Same thing with the NCAA. I think Florida governor was saying that he was just going to award Florida State the ACC championship just because I guess they had the best record and they was in the lead or something like that. So it has affected the sports world a lot. But we did have PBC, which is professional bull riding, PBR, here going on in Atlanta. That was live. And we had bowling. So, you know, you had the two sports that you could have watched. If you never watched it before, you could watch, you know, your bowling and your bull riding.
I'd rather watch curling.
But,
turn
yeah,
on the curling.
Been,
entertainment, the curling tournament.
Yeah, I definitely can't watch curling either. Some of the players has it affects a lot because it also affects people's lives, like the people that actually that's employed by the arena. you know, to, you know, whether it's just doing tickets or seating, just the employees of the arena, they're not allowed to work, so it affects them also. And I know some of the players have stepped up to cover the cost,
right?
At least for 2 weeks for the employees of the arena, because you know it affects you know the ACC, the March Madness tournament. It affects Atlanta. We're supposed to have the Final Four here, so it also the sports world also affects the economy of certain cities, North Carolina, where they have the ACC tournament and these other cities that host the tournament for just the college itself. So it the sports world shutting down is affecting the economy in a big way, especially for these cities that relies on the revenue for these big events that they put on.
So, Spencer, talk to me about Golden State Warriors and Stephen Curry recently. Do you know about that?
Yeah, you know, I've seen the video. And, the cough, the would-be cough that he was like, he thought about, like, nah, I shouldn't right now. You know, because nowadays, actually my sister told me that she went, this had to be Friday or Thursday. She went to a recital that they was having at the school. And the lights had dimmed, and then it got quiet. And right at that time, she had coughed. And she said mostly everybody turned around and looked at her. So just a regular cough nowadays is just...
Yeah.
You know, you can't even cough now, because now people are just so scared. Like, oh, well, do you have it? Did you get checked? Why are you coughing? So he thought better of it because, you know, just the mad hysteria that's out there that you know, either coughing or sneezing, you know, you might affect them, you know, it's just crazy. So he just thought better of it. It was funny.
Well, yeah, they thought he had coronavirus, but he got the flu from one of his kids. Anyway, go ahead, Bruce.
All right, I was just going to say, or just a common cold. It's all now with this super... Mm-hmm. Hypersensitivity, everything's being lumped into possible coronavirus. Everything.
Spencer, are you aware that the Charlotte Hornets owner, you know, Michael Jordan, is going to, because of the people having to take off, he's going to step in and the team are all going to put a fund together to help pay the people who did the, you know, the menial jobs for them, they're going to pay them. Were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't. I think that's pretty good of him to do because he doesn't do much, but that's very nice of him. That I know of. That's cool.
Oh, okay.
Let me just say. That I know
of. He's putting together a fund. You know, their whole team is taking their money to put together a fund to you know, compensate employees who are going to miss paychecks as a result of the Hornets and Greensboro Swarm game, you know, not playing. So I think that's pretty good because I was the only owner I've heard so far that's done anything like that.
Well, Mark Cuban. Players have done it. They actually, I think Mark Cuban did it first, and then some players following his footsteps, Kevin Love. Giannis, there's another player, there's a couple other players that had stepped up and did that. But, it, you know, the dominoes are falling because now they're seeing that, wow, this affects just more than me. Like, you know, I have money, but these people, you know, they might live paycheck to paycheck, who knows, but this is their job and they're not able to do it. So I think that's a good thing that they all stepped up to help these guys out.
Well, you know, sometimes our announcers or newscasters or these people say things that they shouldn't have said. Well, Bill Maher, of course, you know, he's always in trouble for something, but he just recently said that there's a big spike in gun sales. And so his whole thing was everybody should buy it to shoot the virus, coronavirus. Should buy guns to shoot the coronavirus. That was dumb.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever noticed, gentlemen, at least I have, and I've wished it would be a little different, but when we get into a whatever you perceive as a real serious situation, a major flood, a major fire, a major epidemic, whatever, that gets severe enough for the people close to it, we drop our guards and we help each other without question. But the day-to-day things and the less severe, we're very guarded, we're very protective, we're very reactive to the things we're doing. So, you know, if anything really positive comes out of this and it gets severe, we do tend to still do that. We tend to help each other without question when it really gets bad. Let's hope we don't have to get to that point.
Wow. You know, one thing that is interesting, have you ever watched The Simpsons?
Nope.
But back in 1993, you know, The Simpsons were always saying what's going to happen in the future. And they actually predicted something like this would happen. But they also predicted Donald Trump would be president. They predicted the invention of a smartwatch, and they predicted, you know, so I don't know why, but that particular show did a lot of predictions in its show, and a lot of them were coming true. So I don't know, whoever was writing their show, I'd be friends with them. All right, so Darius, tell us what's on your mind. You've been quiet.
Well, like I said, I'm just this thing is overwhelmed. I think it's going. Overwhelming. I think it's so important that we all maintain a positive attitude and outlook. And, you know, what really blessed me during this whole thing is to watch Americans, like everyday Americans, pull together. You know, you have a couple incidents of people fighting over toilet paper, but I think it's a beautiful thing where I heard, you know, Mike Pence talked about a church that's going to take care of, you know, kids, of medical workers. You know, there are people who their kids have to stay home, but they have to go to work. And so child care is something that, you know, a lot of people aren't thinking about. If you're, you know, if you don't have anybody else that can stay home with your kids, you got to have somebody there to do that. So I like that. I like to see Americans pulling together to help one another out. And it just shows that as much as we talk about this country being racist and sexist and, you know, all of these different things. When something like this happens, you get to see the country pull together, everybody helping out their fellow man. And, you know, it shouldn't have to come to stuff like this, but when this happens, you get to see the heart of America. And it's not as bad as the politicians or the media tries to paint, tries to make the country out, you know?
You know, one of the things I saw that I thought was very curious to me is our position in the world has really changed, because I do know that they are working on the cures all over the world. Well, but Germany is supposed to be close to a vaccine or something for this virus. But the United States wanted to put in money or something to help with this, and Germany stopped the United States, and they halted the United States for even trying to help them create, a cure. And they blame it on our position in the United States. What do you think about that, Bruce? Our position in the world, not in the States, I'm sorry.
Well, any country, if there's a viable offer to help, you know, team up, and, you know, I'll share what I know, and you can augment that with what you know, and we can get to the proper solution faster. Shame on any country that is protective enough to say, oh, no, you're not going to help us. We don't want you to. We shouldn't do that, and no other country should do it either. Anybody that you think is a real viable contributor should be able to contribute. I mean, this is a global problem. It's not a U.S. problem. And it's not a Germany problem, and it's not any other particular country. How many countries do they say now are involved? Over 100? Something like that. A very large number.
Yeah, most of the world.
Yes, yes. So that's what I feel about it.
Wow. So I have a question. And do you think that people on who are the frontline people in the medical field should be paid extra money for the work that they're doing, Darius?
Extra money? No. I mean, that's what you sign up for. I mean, you don't sign up for something like this, as serious as this, but you sign up to be a healthcare worker. You know, when tragedy strikes, that's when people jump in. You know, that's what they get paid for. That's what they're trained for. And so, no. In short,
you know,
I don't think you should get paid extra for what you're, you know, for what you've been hired to do.
What about you, Bruce? What do you think? Do you think that medical workers should get paid more money being on the front line there?
Well, as far as the doctors and so, I couldn't agree with what he said more. Is they're doing what they are passionate about doing in most cases, and what they're being paid for, and paid rather handsomely. I mean, it's not just money that does this. Now, if there's frontline real exposure that in somehow we can we need to recognize a little bit more on those workers on the front line, not necessarily more pay, but something. I'm all ears. Talk to me. But this thing of chasing the level of risk with money on a case-by-case basis, that would never end. I mean, typically a more hazardous job has a bigger salary or hourly rate attached to it. And as was said earlier, you've bought in to that risk based on wanting to be a part of that industry, that medical industry, or any other industry, oil worker on a derrick, or underground worker in a sewer system, or whatever. You know, I mean, you get paid accordingly.
Okay. What about you, Spencer?
I agree. I think this is what they signed up for, and this is the outcome of that, either viruses or whatever epidemic come along, even though you signed up to put yourself in harm's way for something like this. So I just think you should just do your job.
Okay, so next week when Biden and Sanders do their debate, do you think the coronavirus should be a big part of this debate? What about you, Darius?
I don't think it should be. You know, I've said before, you know, I don't think this is something that should be politicized, but it will be. And, you know, I found interesting Biden was criticizing the president last week. Well, Sanders was too, for not doing enough. And he was saying, you know, he's ill-prepared. But nobody, I found this very interesting, nobody at all came up with alternatives. No one said, if I was the president, this is what I would have done. No one said, this is what should be happening right now. So for all of the criticism, there is no one that has come up with something that they would have done differently. And on top of that, it was very interesting that Bernie Sanders criticized him, because Congress they act as if they're bystanders. You're a senator. If there's something that you think should be done or need to be done, present a bill. Put it forward. Don't wait until you're running for president to say, oh, if I'm president, I'm going to do this and do that. No, you should have already suggested it already. You should have already made an attempt to implement that. So I just say, for all of the critics, put something on the table.
Darius?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, and I'll take it one step further. There were a few that did say, well, if I was in charge, I'd do this, and I'd set up all this. And that. It's easy to say all of that on the sidelines when you don't have to figure out the logistics of how it's going to be implemented, who's going to pay for it, and all that are things that are real, even though it's antiseptic to the cure of the problem. You and I, for example, we could stand on the sideline and say, well, I would do a much better job. I'd have 85 testing centers in every state. I'd have this and I'd have that. you can say it because there's no accountability to your statement. So I agree with you that if you're going to put something forward or you're going to criticize, you better come up with a lot more detail behind your criticism before you just mouth off.
All right. We're getting down to the last 10 minutes of the show, and I have a question for you guys. President Trump has been offering pardons for several of his people, and now Michael Flynn, his advisor, he is contemplating on offering him a full pardon. Do you think that's fair, Darius, to the rest of the people, to other people who have done the same thing with different, you know, but are in jail?
No, it's not. I think every circumstance is different. But no, I don't think it's ever fair. You know, but the entire justice system is not fair. You know,
right.
Based on socio-political situations and, of course, race and, you know, different things like that play a part in it. So, no, I don't think it's fair. But I don't really – I'm not that familiar with the pardon, so I'm not that familiar with the case. But if you got somebody that did the same thing, you know, no, it's not fair, but that's where it comes into play, you know, who you know, because he can't pardon everybody that committed that crime. You know, he can't just turn them all loose. So I guess he had his reasons. I don't know what they are.
All right. This just came in, and I think it's kind of amazing, but Louis Vuitton, you know, most people don't know how Louis Vuitton became popular. Do you know, Bruce?
I would be guessing, so I'll say no.
What about you, Darius? Do you know how Louis Vuitton became so popular?
No, I don't. Don't even have a guess.
It's because the queen, that's her favorite line since she was, before she was the queen, when she was a young lady and stuff. Louis Vuitton was her designer, and they designed luggage and stuff for her travel. That's how he got Louis Vuitton became so popular. But Louis Vuitton just came out with
that's a hell of an endorsement.
Yeah, right time, right place.
The Louis Vuitton owner said today, a little while ago, that its cosmetic unit would manufacture large quantities of hand disinfectant gel to help stave off the nationwide shortage for France. So Louis Vuitton is going to do some hand lotion or whatever to only for French people to help get rid of coronavirus. What do you think about that, Spencer? You can walk around. I can't
Walk
around with this hand gel with LV on it. Now everybody's going to have, all the young kids are going to have hand gel. Just to get the LV, and if it's only for free, selling it,
they'll hoard it. Yep.
Wow. Okay, Spencer, you were going to say something.
I don't know. That's pretty cool, I guess. You know, I want to know how you don't use it. What it's going to go for online once this is over. And everybody's going to try to get some Louis Vuitton hand sanitizer. I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like. Let me say that, though. Might have the LV on it. I don't know. That's weird. I wouldn't buy some, whatever much amount of money for some sanitizer. I think that's ridiculous. But I guess for them, it's free. So you can get it and sell it.
As the LV on it, well, as a marketing ploy, you would have to put the LV. I mean, you're doing something for your nation and your Louis Vuitton, and you want everybody, you're going to want everybody to know about it, so they're going to walk around with little bottles with LV on them. Everybody
LV. Wow.
Okay,
yeah,
I can see.
Well, it's the same as these other brands was making designer masks. I think it was
really,
you know, that they was making designer masks. So I think a celebrity had some Fendi mask on. So
yeah, Gucci,
you know,
Gucci has a designer face mask.
A Gucci mask. Holy moly.
So when you step out, I was going to step on the side. Can't just step out with the regular white mask. It just don't look good. Don't.
Especially if you're going in a black tie.
There you go. I know when people go travel, you always ask them to bring you back something. Usually it's liquor or some type you can't get.
Bring
Everybody's going to be
mask.
Like, hey, you got to bring that, some of that mask or some of that hand sanitizer, the Louis Vuitton hand sanitizer. That's funny. So, Spencer, if you could talk about something, what do you want to talk about? I thought it would be good.
There's no sports. No sports. I didn't even watch TV like all week. There's no basketball, no March Madness. I even watch NASCAR. This sucks. So,
wow.
You know,
sports, like
sports, no, nothing. Just
okay, so I have a question.
Nothing.
We're all different ages, and I want to ask a question to everybody, and I want you to tell me a little bit why you choose that. So my question is, what is your favorite movie? Darius, what is your favorite movie of all time?
Braveheart.
What
Without
is it?
A doubt. Braveheart.
Braveheart?
Braveheart.
Braveheart,
huh? Yes. Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson, yeah. And why?
Mm-hmm.
It just shows how one man could inspire a whole movement. It shows his courage. It shows his unwillingness to sell out and just kind of disrupt the way things had been previous to him for years, being under the rule of the King of England. And he disrupted that because he wanted freedom. And what he understood was you might have to go back. Some people might have to die. You might have to lose some things. But ultimately, even if it's not better for his generation, it's going to be better for those that come after. And I think every young American now should watch that when we talk about socialism and we talk about giving up our freedoms all for the sake of getting something for free. Because the King of England offered them a whole bunch of stuff to stay under his rule.
Wow.
And he declined it.
Right. All right, Bruce, what's your favorite movie of all times?
First of all, I'll agree with Braveheart as one of the best, but on being an old-fashioned romantic as well, I like the, what do they call them, the rom-coms, a number of them, and the one that was made up on Mackinac Island, Somewhere in Time, which is almost obscure now, I just thoroughly enjoy it. So that's just the romantic side of me, but point well taken on Braveheart. And some of the others, like Dances with Wolves, that although it wasn't a specific person, tried to illustrate some of the more realistic parts of history. And we're getting so far behind on teaching our youth about the importance of history that they don't understand what socialism is. I agree with that. They have no appreciation for how heinous that could be.
What about you, Spencer? What's your favorite movie?
Wow.
You had time to think about it.
I love movies. You know, at one point it was Top Gun. Then it was Avatar. Avatar. And I recently just had a favorite movie, but you know what? I can't remember what it was.
Well, it can't be that favorite then.
Yeah,
I can't remember it.
It was good. And I was like, you know what? That is my favorite movie now. But I can't remember what it was. I don't know, really. That's a hard choice. I love movies. I love, you know, the movies in the 90s, the, you know, like Menace to Society, Deadly, South Central. I love Top Gun. I love Avatar, really, when it came out because of the graphics and the three parts, and it was just, I think I saw that movie three times, actually.
How about the mystery, whodunit kind of one? Solve the mystery. You like those?
Yeah, but I'm more like an action freak, so I like action.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta have
okay.
a whole bunch of guns shooting, crazy stuff.
Watch Heat. Watch Heat.
I'm
an
action
junkie. Wow.
Heat?
You want action? Watch that.
just to put it out there, my favorite movie of all times, I think, is The Color Purple. I like the acting, and I like the music in that movie. That's one of my favorites.
Cicely Tyson, yes.
Yeah. So, Mike, thank you, everybody who's listening. I see a bunch of people listening, and I've had lots of questions, but most of the questions we'll talk about next week, and most of them have to deal with Darius anyway. But anyway, we'll be back next week, next Sunday. Join us again at 6 o'clock here at the same time, same numbers that you did this week. Thanks, guys. Good show, and I appreciate you.
Take care, guys.
Appreciate
Have a good
you,
week.
Man.
Hey, stay safe.
Love it as
stay
always,
safe.
Guys. Have a good one. Absolutely.
You too.